Well, good morning. So as you can see here, our lesson today is on concept, the principle that wisdom hates evil. Before we get into the lesson, I thought we'd take a few minutes to review. Okay, we've had a couple lessons already from the book of Proverbs, and you might recall that the first lesson was dealing with the way of wisdom. And we looked at Proverbs chapter 9, and in Proverbs chapter 9 we saw that the way of wisdom was contrasted with the way of folly. And we learned certain lessons from that proverb. Then we looked in our second lesson at the wisdom of the prudent. And we saw that the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way. And we saw that in everything the prudent acts with knowledge. So we come today to the topic of wisdom hates evil. And so as we look at wisdom hates evil, we'll look at that. We'll look at wisdom's response to evil. We'll look at our response to evil. And then we'll look at some lessons that we'll learn. So as you saw, the text that we'll be looking at today to start with is in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. If you would turn there with me. And I want to begin our reading in verse 12. So in verse 12, we see that wisdom is speaking. The wisdom says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. So wisdom is speaking here, and we see that wisdom is dwelling with these positive attributes, these positive characteristics of prudence, of finding knowledge, and of discretion. But then wisdom goes on and says this, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. Wisdom hates. Wisdom is speaking. It says, I hate. That might surprise you. When I first, I was reading that, I'm like, okay, we see these positive things, and now we see hatred. Hatred is a very strong emotion. It's a strong, intense dislike for something. It's an extreme aversion to something. And we see here that wisdom hates. Similar words are to abhor, to loathe. These are words that have the same meaning as hate. Well, before we take a look exactly at what wisdom hates, I thought it would be helpful for us to think a little bit about what people hate. What do people hate? Do you ever hear people say, I hate blank, fill in the blank? So I'm going to ask you, I hate blank. What do you hear people say I hate? Broccoli. All right. Broccoli. I'm not going to be able to spell it. How do you spell broccoli? Two C's. Broccoli. Okay. Well, okay, broccoli. Very good. What else do people hate? How about,
Traffic.
Traffic. I hate traffic. Okay? I hate traffic. I'm going to think about where I'm going to put that. I'm going to put traffic over here for a minute. I'm not sure about traffic. How about, you ever hear somebody say, I hate a sports team? All right, all you Michigan fans, who do you hate?
Ohio State.
Ohio State. All right. So people hate Ohio State in the middle of winter. Do you ever hear people say, I hate cold. I hate cold weather. Okay? So cold weather. All right. Yes? I hate a lie. Okay. I hate a lie. I hate so-and-so. So-and-so. I'm going to put so-and-so down here because I'm not really sure on that one. We'll think about that in a minute. Okay. How about plaid shorts that are lime green, pink, and purple? Some people might look at that and say, I hate that. I hate those plaid shorts. And I have to confess. No, I won't. Okay. How about exercise? I hate exercise. How about spinach? Okay. All right. So the point, let's think about this for a second. All right. And I'm not sure about traffic, so I wasn't sure about that one. But I hate Ohio State. All right? And I'm certain that on a beautiful fall afternoon at U of M Stadium, 100,000 people are there, and I bet you'll find people that will agree with you. I hate Ohio State. But on that same beautiful fall afternoon the next year in Columbus, Ohio, what will people say about Ohio State? Will they hate Ohio State? No. I bet you they'll say, I hate Michigan. Right? You might find it interesting, those that hate cold weather. I know somebody that likes cold weather. Right? What about those plaid shorts? There may have been a day that plaid shorts that were lime green and purple were pretty acceptable. Anyway, this is, I'll just put up here, personal opinion, okay? These are really the basis for these hatred things, these things that we say we hate, it's your opinion. Okay, like if I grow up in Columbus, Ohio, I may have, because of my environment where I live, I hate certain things. If I grew up in Ann Arbor, I might hate other things. A lot of this is driven by opinion, personal opinion. Now, how about over here? This is interesting. Broccoli. Spinach. Do you know what? Actually, healthy eating is good for you. No. I know, you all know me. I don't like green things. People will attest. But believe it or not, I like spinach. Right? So there are some things, healthy eating, that I like. What about exercise? Exercise, some people go, oh, I don't want to get up in the morning. Oh, I hate getting up in the morning. Hate getting up in the morning to exercise. But exercise is good for you. So there's some things that are good for you, right? These things are good for you. But we still say we hate them. We might still say we hate them. Now last, the lie. There are things that are evil. There are things that are evil that should be hated. So what I want to do is, what does wisdom hate? Wisdom hates evil. Evil is defined, let me make sure I get this right. I've looked up some definitions. It says evil is defined, it's based on a standard, a moral standard. It says it's wicked moral deficiency. The essential meaning is the inability to come up to good standards which will benefit. It's the opposite of good. So here, there's no real standard. It's just opinion, right? But when we're talking about evil, there is a standard. There's a moral standard that we should be using to base our opinions as to what is evil. And I hope we'll see now from the next verses as we look at these that that standard is God's Word. God's Word. So, as we look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, God helps us a bit. He says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. And then he goes on and gives us some examples. Right? Examples. Examples of evil. Pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance are evil. And when I think about evil, when I think about pride and arrogance, I think of those as more heart issues, more internal. I have internal pride. I have internal arrogance. I'm just caught up with myself. Right? When I look at the way of evil, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, well, that's just a catch-all for more of outward manifestations of evil, actions, things I am doing. So we have the inward, the heart. We have the outward, the actions. But then, interestingly enough, speech. The speech conveying evil thoughts, conveying lies, conveying wickedness. That also is evil. All right. So that's what wisdom hates. That's interesting. Well, what does the Lord hate? I think Al, I asked you, could you read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19? So we see here, similar to wisdom, the Lord hates. And He gives us examples of things He specifically hates. And we see here, we see some things that are similar to those things that wisdom hates. We see those inward heart issues, the haughty look, pride, arrogance. We see a heart that devises wicked plans. Again, heart issues. We also see outward examples of evil. We see hands that shed innocent blood. We see feet that make plans to run to evil. So we see heart issues. We see outward issues. And we also see speech issues. Lying tongue, a false witness that breathes out lies, and one who sows discord with his brothers. So we see that wisdom hates, and the Lord hates, and both wisdom and the Lord hate evil. And as you look at that list, we start to see in these examples that this is based on God's Word. It's not based on subjective opinion. It's based on God's moral standard and His Word. Well, let's look at another example. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 5. Just jumping out of the Proverbs for a minute. Psalm 5. And I wanted to look at this for a minute just because I want to see the connection between evil and sin. Okay? Evil and sin. Psalm 5, it says, "The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evil doers." All evil doers. And in the King James, New King James Version, it says, "Hate all workers of iniquity." The word there, it's a Hebrew word that's used for iniquity. And at times it's also translated as sin. Sin. God hates sin. God hates sin. And you'll see in verse 6, it goes on and is another example. "You destroy those who speak lies." The Lord abhors, hates the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Clear, the bloodthirsty. God's Word says, "Thou shalt not murder." That is the standard. That is evil. God hates the bloodthirsty man. God's Word says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And here we have a false witness, one who is a deceitful man. God hates that. That's evil. So we see the things that wisdom hates, the things that the Lord hates, the things that God hates, the things that are over here. It's based on a standard. It's not an opinion. It's not a preference. It's a clear standard. And we find that standard in God's Word, God's law. So what is the response? Okay? What is the response to evil? I asked somebody to look at Proverbs 3:7. Could you read that?
"Be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil."
Okay. So the Proverbs here caution us. Begins with a caution. Be not wise in your own eyes. You know, we all think we know. We think highly of ourselves. We think we know what, you know, everything sometimes. But Proverbs is cautioning us. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on how you see it. Because you know what? We can be deceived. We can see things and actually see things that are good and call them evil and hate them. You know, in Isaiah's day, Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." That was an issue in Isaiah's day. And I have to say, I think in our day, likewise, we have that same issue, do we not? We have people that say, these things that are evil are good. It's based on their opinion. It's based on what the world thinks. It's not based on what God says. And we have to be careful. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And then it goes on to tell us, we need to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. If we had a true understanding of who God is, if we really consider our God, His majesty, His power, His glory, His holiness, His purity, if we consider our God, we will have a fear of our God. And it's not a terror. It's more of an awe. It's more of a reverence. It's more of a wanting to honor Him. And as we do that, as we consider that, what will we do? We will look to obey Him. We will look to obey Him. And we will look to the Lord, not to ourselves. We will look to the Lord for direction. And here in the proverb it says clearly, the direction is to turn away from evil. Charles Bridges says, where God is honored, sin is hated, loathed, and resisted. When we fear the Lord, when we honor Him, we need to hate sin. And we need to resist it. We need to turn from it. Well, what's God's response? What's God's response to evil? If you would, if you're still there in Psalms, let's look at Psalm chapter 5. And in verse 4 and 5 we see, you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. So first we see that God's response is there's a separation. There's a separation. Evil may not dwell with God. There's no long-standing time that you can spend with God. Evil cannot spend a long period of time with God, right? He cannot dwell with God. And then we see that even we can't stand to stand before Him short term, just for a few moments. God cannot look upon evil. He cannot tolerate it. He cannot stand it. He hates it. He abhors it. We know that there was a separation. It started with Adam and Eve when they sinned and they no longer had the same fellowship with God. And we as children of Adam, as sinners, we likewise are separated from God. Well, there's separation, but also we know, and I think Bob mentioned this, God's response to evil. There's punishment for evil. In Psalm 5:6, it says, you destroy those who speak lies. There is consequence. There are consequences for evil. Consequences for evil. God says the wages of sin is death. There will be death. Make no mistake. There are consequences for evil. Now, I'm going to turn, I think, for a time, if you would, I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 44. I think we have enough time for this. Jeremiah chapter 44. And you know, at times we say, you know, we look at those that are evil and they don't seem to be punished in this lifetime. But that's not always the case. There are times when God does pour out His punishment during our lifetime. That during our lifetime there are consequences for evil. I'm going to pick up the reading in verse 2. It says in Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah here, he is reminding the Jews of their evil of idolatry and God's punishment for that idolatry. It says here, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. Behold, this day they are a desolation and no one dwells in them because of the evil that they committed, provoking me to anger in that they went to make offerings and serve other gods that they knew not, neither they nor you nor your fathers. Yet I persistently sent to you all my servants, the prophets, saying, oh, do not do this abomination that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their evil, make no offerings to other gods. Therefore, my wrath and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they became a waste and a desolation as at this day. We see here, behold, see now. It's not later judgment, it's now. God poured out His wrath. He poured out His wrath because they committed evil. That evil, evil of idolatry, serving other gods, putting other gods before Him. And God, in His mercy, sent prophets calling to them to say, no, don't do this. But they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And yet they continued on in that. And as a result, He poured out His anger and God made a waste and desolation of the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. God's punishment can happen during our lifetime. But be certain, it may not happen in our lifetime, But know for certain, there is a final judgment. There is a final judgment, and on that day, the wicked will stand before the Lord, and they will be punished. There will be punishment. They will be cast into outer darkness. There will be eternal separation from God. But we don't stop there. Thanks be to God. God's response is just not one of separation. God's response is not just one of punishment. We see God's response here. Going back to Psalm chapter 5. We see God's response in verse 7. It says, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house." I will enter your house. It's because of God's steadfast love. God provides a way of access. And we know that that way of access isn't by our works. It is not by our merit. That everlasting love, that steadfast love is mercy. And it's that mercy in God sending Christ. Sending Christ now for us. To call us. To turn from our sin. To turn from our evil way. To turn to Him. And it is through Christ that is how we are saved. Just like in the day of Isaiah, God was merciful there. He sent prophets. He said, calling them to go, go, turn, turn. God now, Christ is there, calling you today to turn. And as a result, we have access and we can then worship. We can bow down. Our separation is no longer there. We have access to God and we can bow down and worship. So that is wisdom's response, that is God's response. Well, what does that mean to us? What is our response? What is your response to evil? Proverbs 16:6, I think I asked. Would you read that, please? You know, and as I was looking at this, it begins with a problem, right? We all have a problem. We're sinners. We've already committed evil. We have an issue. We have iniquity. But here it says, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. Again, as we saw, Christ came. In His love that He showed to us, there's steadfast love, there is forgiveness for our sin. We start off by dealing with our iniquity we have, the sin that we have. It's not our love, it's Christ's love. And then, now that our sin has been dealt with, now the issue is this. How do we deal with temptation to sin when it comes? Sin is before us. We are tempted to sin. And what does the proverb tell us? By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Charles Bridges says, "The fear of the Lord is a bridle to sin and a spur to holiness." Those that ride horses, think of a horse. Think of a horse. The rider on the horse takes the reins. He pulls the reins, pulls the bridle to turn that horse away from the direction he doesn't want him to go. And then as he's going in that direction, he uses the spurs to prod him, to kick him, to urge him on into that direction that he wants him to go. We are the horse. The fear of the Lord is the rider. And let that fear of the Lord turn us away from evil. And then let that fear of the Lord be a prod that we would go on to holiness. That should be our response. Well, also, as a Christian today, what is our response? And I have to say, at times, I struggle with this. If you turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and starting in verse 9, this little caption above my section here says, "Marks of the True Christian." Right? It starts with this, "Let love be genuine." And then it goes on to say, "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." So we as Christians were first called to love. Right? We're called to love. But that doesn't negate the fact that we're also called to abhor what is evil. It's not inconsistent. God hates evil. He loves sinners in sending His Son. There's love there. We, as God's people, need to understand we need to abhor evil, but we need to be able to demonstrate love and hold fast to what is good. And in this section, it goes on, and there are imperatives, directives, one after another, talking to us about how do we do this? How do we demonstrate love? How do we abhor what is evil? How do we hold fast to what is good? You know, I think of what happened this past week with the terror attacks in Brussels. And I look at that. That is evil. That is evil. And I confess, I wrestle with that. I wrestle with how do you respond to that? But we are not to repay evil for evil. That's one of the imperatives here. If it's possible, so much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, there's times, you know, in our lives we struggle with things. How do we respond? God gives us in His Word directives and guidance. And ultimately, the key is that we are not to be overcome by evil. Don't let evil control you. Let evil get the best of you. We need to overcome evil with good. We need to let our light shine in this world of darkness. We need to, by our good works, point people to Christ. Point people to Christ's love. We need to imitate Him and seek to point people to that love of Christ that will turn them from their evil. So as I said, this isn't easy. This issue of turning from evil. At times it can be a struggle. How do I respond? Well, I say this often. One of the verses I really like, you know, sometimes I'm up here, I seem like I'm always saying, the verse that I really like is this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And it says, for the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. We need help to turn from sin. We need help to fight against evil. And we can find that help in Christ. We need to look to Christ as our motivation. It's not, by the way, it's not our love to Christ. It's Christ's love for us. Okay? And we see that love, do we not, demonstrated by His sacrifice on the cross. Remember, God's response to evil, the consequence for evil is death. Christ, by His love, paid that penalty. The penalty of death. But Christ also, remember, there is separation. Christ paid that penalty as well. Christ was separated. Consider that. Christ, who was with the Father from all eternity, who is God, who like God abhors evil, who hates evil. Christ became sin, that which is evil for us. He became that which was evil for us, that which He hated. He took that on Himself, and as a result, He was forsaken by the Father. There was separation. If that doesn't motivate us to turn from evil, I don't know what will. The love of Christ, it should motivate us to turn from evil and draw us to Christ. And as we consider that love of Christ, may it act as a hedge. It controls us. It bounds us. It helps to guide us. Guide us away from evil and turn us and guide us to Christ. So, as we kind of tie this together, let's consider a couple things. Here we are in our life. For those that were in the other classes, you remember, right? We have, hopefully, the prudent man, right? We are going along our path, and we're discerning our path, right? Discerning our way. And on the way, there's temptation. And as we look at that temptation, we should, as we discern, understand that that temptation to go to the path of folly, it's a temptation to do evil. And as a result, do not be deceived by folly. There is a consequence. There is death that waits at the end of that path. We need instead to think of the words of wisdom, the direction of wisdom, to turn from that evil, to turn to Christ with the consequence of life. Remember, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord, and by the fear of the Lord, we turn from evil. And also remember that motivation that draws us to this path of wisdom. It's the love of Christ. That love of Christ that will control us. So, as we wrap things up, just a couple of reminders. Remember the fear of the Lord. And as we remember the fear of the Lord, may it be that we, like wisdom, like the Lord, that we hate evil. Not based on our opinion, but based on God's standard, based on God's word. And that as a result of that fear, that honor, that reverence for God, looking at God, that we will then also turn from evil. Remember the fear of the Lord. Hate evil, turn from evil. But also, do not forget the love of Christ. Remember the love of Christ. And that love of Christ should draw us. So there's a negative and a positive, right? We have, as we're going down the path, we have that fear of the Lord to turn, and then we have that positive to draw. That positive of Christ drawing us by His love, pulling us away from evil, drawing us to Christ. And then last I would say, we as God's people, we need to seek to overcome evil with good. We need to look to God's word for His direction on how do we deal with evil when we confront it. You know, when I was talking with someone in my family about this lesson, and I was like saying, we need to avoid evil. We need to turn from evil. It's like, yes, but yet, what do we do with the evildoer, the sinner? If we're always isolated and we do not seek to overcome that evil and seek to show the love of Christ to that evildoer, how will they ever hear the gospel? So we have to find a balance. We don't get down in the mire and the filth and the evil. Right? We don't do that. But yet, still, we show that love of Christ. And show that love to the evildoer, pointing him to Christ, pointing him to the cross. And hopefully that God will bless and save that person. We need to shine as light in this world of darkness, to be examples of Christ's love, to seek to overcome evil with good, and point the lost to Christ. Well, that is our lesson. Let's close now and pray. Our God and our Father, we bow before You, Lord, and we confess our own sin. We confess our own unworthiness. And we stand amazed at Your mercy and Your love. And as we think of what it cost You and what it cost Christ to make a way for us to have access to You, we are humbled and we are thankful. And we pray, our Father, that we would demonstrate that love that we have now for You in our actions. Help us, Lord, to turn from evil, to not sin, to remember to fear You when we are tempted to sin. And Father, we pray that we would be ready to be lights in this dark world, calling the lost to Christ, explaining to them their need of a Savior. Father, we just pray that You would help us, even this day, to be faithful to You. Father, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.